KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quintos, Hannah, and Tales.
Hello, my name is Beth Troxel, and I'm from the Farmington Public Library. I am here to read you some books from our collection. The first book that I have chosen is called Once There Was a Story. This is a collection of stories which is perfect if you would like to find a book that has bedtime stories that you can read or 2 or 3 minute stories that you can read to your child. So this is by Jang Yolen. And what I did is I picked out a couple of stories from this book. This is from all over the world. The first one is a story that Jang Yolen did write, and it was called Rose Child. There lived an old woman who longed for a child, though she was neither widow or wed. One day, out in the woods gathering herbs, she heard a cry. There was nothing nearby but a flowering bush, so she went over to that. There, nestled in the petals of a wild rose, was a tiny babe. Quickly, the old woman picked up the child between her forefinger and her thumb, and wrapping it in her linen handkerchief, she brought it home. There she made it a cradle from a walnut and lined the shell with soft wool. Then she sat back and wondered how to make such a child grow. If it were a real child, she thought, I would feed it pieces of bread, softened honey, and milk till it was quite grown. But as it is a rose child, goodness alone knows what I must do, for I do not. At last, she got up and went to her neighbor, Farmer Brow. For surely, if anyone would know how about raising a child born in a flower, a farmer would. So she knocked on his door, and when Brow opened it, she said, Farmer Brow, tell me now, how shall my rose child grow? Farmer Brow scratched up under his hat and said, Turn it soil and water it well, for he thought she meant a flowering bush. So the old woman went home, turned the child in its cradle, and sprinkled water upon it from the well. Then she sat down to watch the child for the day. But the rose child did not grow. The next day, the old woman got up and went to her other neighbor, Squire Bray. For surely, if anyone would know how to raise a child born in a flower, a squire would, for squires know everything. So she knocked on his door, and when he answered it, she said, Squire Bray, tell me the way to make my rose child grow. Squire Bray struck his riding crop against his boot and said, Feed it mash and turn it out to pasture. For he thought she was talking about a horse. So the old woman went home and fed the rose child a meal of mash and put it in the pasture. Then she settled down on the grass beside it and watched for a day. But the rose child did not grow. At last, she brought it home again, and when it was asleep in its walnut cradle, she went across the road to the church to see the village priest, Father Bree. For surely, if anyone would know how to raise a child born in a flower, a priest would, for he knew about all sorts of strange things in and out of this world. So she knocked on his door, and when he opened it, she said, Father Bree, tell to me, how shall my rose child grow? Father Bree fingered his beads and said, Place it on the good book and make a cross on his forehead, for he feared the old woman was beset by a devil. So the old woman went home and placed the child on the good book and made a cross on its forehead. Then she settled down to watch it for the rest of the day. But still, the rose child did not grow. However, there was no one left to ask. So the old woman threw her apron up over her head and cried, "Oh me, oh my, my rose child shall die." Just then, a small wee voice called out from the walnut shell, "Mama!" The old woman took her apron off her head and saw the rose child holding up its tiny hands. She reached over and plucked it up between her forefinger and her thumb and cradled it against her cheek. She felt her love flowing out to the tiny child, and she loved it so much. It began to grow and grow till it was old enough and big enough to care for the little old woman in return. They fed each other pieces of bread sopped in honey and milk and anything else they needed or wanted. And from that day till this, the old woman's house was filled with the lovely scent of roses. And the little poem says, "Love is what a growing child needs, even one that's grown from seeds." So this was called The Rose Child by Jane Yolen. And this was taken from the book Once There Was a Story. So I am going to get another book from the same book, another story from the same book. And it's from the section called Tales of Magic Makers. And the next story that I have picked to read from this book is called The Stone Cutter, and this is a tale from Japan. Once, long ago, there lived a stone cutter. He went every day to a great rock in the side of a mountain and cut slabs for gravestones or statues or houses. He was a careful worker man and had plenty of customers. Though the stonecutter didn't know it, a spirit lived in the mountain that now and then helped good people to become rich and prosperous, or to otherwise lead them to great happiness. Now one day, as the stonecutter carried a large slab of gray stone into a rich man's house, he noticed all sorts of beautiful things there. And though he have never been jealous of such riches before, he found himself sighing, "Oh, if only I were a rich man and could sleep in a teak bed with silken curtains and golden tassels, how happy I should be." And a strange whispery voice answered him, "Your wish is heard, stonecutter. A rich man you shall be." The stonecutter looked around, but he could see nobody and thought a trick was being played on him. So he picked up his tools and went home, still dreaming of all the beautiful things he'd seen in the rich man's house. When he came to his own little house, he stopped amazed. Instead of his wooden hut, there stood a stately palace filled with a new teak furniture. Most splendid of all was a teak bed with the very tassels and silken curtains he'd seen in the rich man's house. The stonecutter wept with happiness, and in a moment his old life was forgotten. It was now the beginning of summer. One morning was so hot the stonecutter could scarcely breathe as he lay dozing on his bed. He heard a noise in the street and peeped around the blinds. A carriage was passing by, drawn by six servants dressed in red and gold. In the carriage sat a prince, and over his head a golden umbrella was held by a footboy to protect the prince from the sun. "Oh, whispered the stonecutter. If only I were a prince in such a carriage, with a golden umbrella held over me, how powerful and happy I should be. And in that very instant, a prince he was. Before his carriage rode a company of fierce-looking guards, with another company of guards behind, and above his head a footboy held the very umbrella he wanted. But suddenly the stonecutter realized that in spite of the carriage and the umbrella over his head, in spite of the two companies of guards, there was something mightier than he, and it spoiled his happiness. The sun! He cried. Oh, if only I were the sun! And in that moment, he became the sun. The stonecutter felt his heat and his power. He scorched the earth with his rays. He browned the faces of princes and poor folk alike. But then a cloud passed between him and the earth, and he began to sulk. The cloud is mightier than I am. Oh, I wish I were a cloud. The very moment he said that, he was indeed a cloud, a gray cloud lying between the sun and the earth. He caught up the sun's beams, and to his great joy, doing so allowed the earth to grow green again. Flowers blossomed. How powerful I am, he told himself. He poured rain down till rivers overflowed their banks, and rice plants stood knee-deep in water. Towns and villages were destroyed by the power of the rain. Only the great rock on the mountainside remained unmoved. The cloud, who had been the stonecutter, cried out, "Is the rock, then, mightier than I? Oh, if only I were that rock!" And in that moment, he was a rock standing proudly, unmoving, supremely powerful. The sun did not burn him, and the rain could not move him. "Now I am the mightiest of all." But one day he heard a loud noise at his feet, and looking down, he saw a stonecutter with a chisel and hammer pounding into his stone surface. A trembling ran through him as a great block of himself broke off and fell upon the ground. "Is a mere man mightier than a rock? Oh, if only I were such a one," he cried out. In that very moment, he was that man, a stonecutter standing with his chisel and hammer at the rock foot. The stonecutter looked around at the mountain, at the block of stone, at the path that led to his small house, that and his hard bed, to his poor dinner waiting for him there. But in that moment, he knew that he didn't long to be something or anybody else. He was happy at last. "Thank you, Mountain Spirit," he said, and meant every word. So the moral of the story was, rich man, poor man, sun, cloud, stone, sometimes best is what is known. So I hope you enjoyed that story. That story was called the Stone Man. And this was from Once There Was a Story. So I am going to read another one from the same book. This one is from Italy, and it's called Brave Marietta. In old Italy, there was a widow farmer who had two things he loved his little daughter, Marietta, and his pear tree. But each summer, when the pears were ripe, he had to take 4 baskets of them to the king as rent for his cottage and land. Now, one year, the winter had been bad, and the spring worse, and he could fill only 3 of the baskets. He was afraid he would lose all they had. So, with a heavy heart, he put the pears in 3 of the baskets, and little Marietta, who was fast asleep, in the 4th, to bring the weight of the baskets up. Then, wheeling them in his handcart, he headed to the palace. He thought that after the baskets were weighed, he'd sneak his daughter out and take her home. But alas, there were so many folk paying rent that day, he had to leave the baskets in the pantry and was told to come back the next day. After a while, little Marietta awoke and, oh, she was hungry, so she ate some pears. A bit later, she'd eaten up almost half the pears and fallen asleep in the pantry. The cook saw that pears were disappearing. He searched the pantry and found the sleeping child. When he began to scold her, she wept. "Oh, do not cry, pretty little girl," the cook said. "Come and work for me in the kitchen." And so she did. Eventually, her father heard what had happened and thought, "Oh, I love my daughter, but cannot feed her. At least now she's in a good place." And though it broke his heart, he knew it was for the best. Marietta worked in the king's kitchen until she'd grown into a beautiful young maiden. She was such a good worker, everyone loved her, even the king's son. Well, perhaps not everyone. There were 3 servants who were jealous of her and decided to make her life miserable. They went to the king and said, "This Marietta, whom everyone praises, is really a boaster. She says she can do all the palace laundry herself, wash it, dry it, and iron it, and fold it away all in one morning, and that even the king could do such a thing." Well, kings hate to hear anyone boast like that, so he went for Marietta and told her what he had been told. Marietta smiled. "No one can do such a thing." "Not even a king?" asked the king. "Not even you, sire," she said. But it was a wrong thing to say. The king said, "You must do as you've said, and if you don't, you'll be punished." Marietta went back to the kitchen, weeping bitterly. The prince found her there, and she told him what had happened. "Dry your eyes, sweet Marietta," he said. "I'll help you. Have the king send all the dirty linen to the laundry, and I'll meet you there." When the prince arrived, the sheets and pillowcases, tablecloths, and towels were piled up to the ceiling. He took a wand from his pocket and waved it, and in a moment, everything was washed, dried, ironed, folded, and ready to be put away. "Do not say who helped you," he told Marietta, and went back to his room. The king was delighted, but the 3 jealous servants were not. So they went again to the king and said, "Now Marietta is boasting she can go across the slimy river to the Orgus house and get back your box of magical instruments." So the king sent for Marietta and told her what he'd been told. Marietta smiled. "No one can do such a thing." "Not even a king?" asked the king. "Not even you, sire," she said. But it was the wrong thing to say. The king said, "You must do as you've said, and if you don't, you'll be punished." Marietta went back to the kitchen weeping bitterly. The prince found her there, and she told him what happened. "Dry your eyes, sweet Marietta," he said. "I'll help you. Ask the king for 3 quarts of oil, 3 pounds of fresh beef, and there is one more thing which you must keep to yourself." The king agreed, packing everything in a large bag, and off Marietta went to the slimy river. As the prince had instructed, she knelt down and put her hands in the river, saying, "Sweet river, lovely river, if I weren't in such a hurry, I'd stop to bathe in your lovely waters." The river was only used to being called ugly and dirty and slimy, and was so happy it pulled its water aside, saying, cross over to my farthest shore. Walk over as if you were on a dry floor." And Marietta went across. The Orgus place was much more beautiful than the king's, with 17 turrets topped with gold and marble pillars on every side. No sooner had she gone through the palace door than up leaped 3 enormous dogs, each as large as a horse, barking and growling. Marietta threw them each a pound of fresh beef. They wagged their tails like puppies and let her pass. Beyond her was an iron door that was so rusty, she knew that opening it would make the hinges squeak and squeal. So she poured the oil on the hinges, and then the door opened quietly. Up the stairs, Marietta crept to the Orgus's bedroom, where under the bed she kept the king's box of magical instruments. But just when Marietta was pulling the box out, the Orgus woke up. Marietta grabbed up the box and ran down the stairs, slip, slap, tip, tap, with the Orgus running after her. When Marietta got to the door, the Orgus cried, "Door, door, squeeze her tight." But the door said, "For 100 years my hinges have rusted and you never oiled them once. Marietta has. I say open for her." Then it stayed open until Marietta was through and slammed itself in the Orgus face. The Orgus had to knock the door down, crying out to her guard dogs, "Dogs, dogs, bite her." The dogs didn't move, saying, "For 100 years you have given us only scraps of bread, but Marietta has given us meat. We won't bite her." Then Marietta ran to the river, and behind her the Org cried, "River, river, drown her." The river said, "Why should I drown her? She's the only one who didn't call me nasty names." And the river drew back its waters again and let Marietta cross. Once she was across and the Org in the middle, the river let its waters come roaring back, and the old Org was carried away, never to be seen again. The prince stood on the other side. He took the box with one hand and Marietta with the other. "Will you marry me, brave Marietta?" "With all my heart," she said. The king was pleased, the cook was pleased, the old pear farmer was pleased. And most pleased of all were the prince and Marietta. As for the jealous servants, they were quickly dismissed and, like the Org, was never seen again. And the moral was, a kind word, a bit of oil, can save you from a life of toil. So this was Stories from Once There Was a Story by Jane Yolen. If you would like to check it out, you can come to the Farmington Public Library and check out our books. You can go to www.infoway.org for more program information or to check out books. Thank you.
This has been Quintos Hana and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.